the stars I've seen, all the songs I've sung, all the beers I've drank, all the damage done. I was just passing time, kinda just passing through on my way to you. Every curve, every ditch, every turn, every bridge I left behind me up in smoke, every fork in the road, it was all worth a while when I finally saw you smile. Every highway, every heartbreak, every mountain, every mile. I got the radio up, sun is going down, I'll take a left at the bank, I'll head straight through town. So baby, put on that dress, a little sweet perfume, 'cause I'm on my way.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. Despite President Trump calling on Republicans and his base supporters to stop talking about the release of Epstein files, questions are growing about the Justice Department's handling of the federal files for the convicted sex offender. ABC's Alex Mallon has more.
They're really trying to take their cues from the White House, and the White House is just sending mixed messages. We've heard from President Trump saying that Attorney General Pam Bondi should release any credible information, but at the same time, he's bashing essentially all of the files that he was briefed on as incredible.
Attorney General Pam Bondi has not signaled whether she may change her mind about releasing all the files. Bondi visiting San Francisco today, touring the notorious Alcatraz Island, which has been closed for decades. The administration is considering reopening that prison, which would cost some $250 million to renovate. Severe storms once again taking aim along parts of the South and East Coast again today, with heavy rain expected. This is ABC News. In Minot, North Dakota, residents are dealing with a pervasive pest that just won't leave.
If you Google Richardson's ground squirrel, photos will come up of an innocent-looking rodent that kind of resembles a prairie dog. But make no mistake, these critters are a pain.
Dig holes by the door. I found one in my home.
Exterminator Joshua Herman says he doesn't know a place in Minot where you couldn't find them tunneling.
Had calls downtown, calls in the mall, along the highways.
Herman says they're actually kind of cute, but they do harbor diseases and they bite.
And at that point, cute goes out the window and control comes in.
The ground squirrels also breed, becoming more plentiful every year. Sherry Preston, ABC News.
Dozens of wildfires are burning across parts of the western United States, including one in Mesa County, Colorado, that's grown quickly. Lightning strikes are being blamed for sparking several of those wildfires. Officials say more lightning storms are in the forecast. You're listening to ABC News.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams July Summer Sale and get 30% off paints and stains July 18th through the 28th. With prices starting at $34.29, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your interior or exterior, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store or shop the sale online. Delivery available on qualifying orders. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
At Straight Talk, we are all about no-brainers. Calling grandma for her recipe, no-brainer. Streaming one more episode at 2 a.m., big no-brainer. Getting real unlimited data where you buy bananas, the ultimate no-brainer. Switch now and get a free Samsung Galaxy A16 5G or Moto G Power 5G 2025 with select plans. Straight Talk, real unlimited data. Available at Walmart and StraightTalk.com. Offer valid through 7/2025. Taxes and fees apply. Requires in-store activation of single line gold unlimited plan or higher. For network management practices, visit StraightTalk.com/terms. Copyright 2025 Verizon.
Wisconsin Radio Network News. I'm Ted Aylin. The body of a 13-year-old boy who went missing Tuesday in a Sheboygan area lake has been recovered. Sheboygan Fire Chief Eric Montanello said dive teams had trouble combing the bottom of the water at JC Quarry Park.
The way the rock walls are, there's a lot of crevices, so the sonar can't always go in there. So we had to send our divers in there, and that's the most painstaking because they're doing it all by hand and feel, and the visibility was less than a foot.
Parts of JC Quarry are up to 50 feet deep. The poor water quality forced teams to call off the search Tuesday night. The victim hasn't been identified. Court proceedings are suspended for a Janesville man accused in the fatal stabbing of his 8-year-old sister. In Rock County Court Tuesday, a doctor hired by the defense testified that 22-year-old Davian Lathrop suffered from unspecified psychosis on the schizophrenia spectrum. Judge Jeffrey Kuglich.
At times he's been engaged, other times he's been totally disinterested. Intense staring at certain people in the courtroom.
Kuglich found Lathrop wasn't competent to stand trial. He'll be held by the Wisconsin Department of Health Services for treatment until he gains competency. Activity at the Port of Green Bay is off compared to last year at this time.
Shipping totals were still lagging behind last year in June, according to figures shared by port officials. Last month, the port had 137,725 tons of materials and raw goods passed through. That's above May's total, but year-to-date totals are 47% lower than at the same point of last year's shipping season. Port Director Dean Hain notes the season's slow start continues to affect this year's overall volumes. A total of 15 ships visited the Port of Green Bay in June. So far this year, 32 vessels have stopped the port. Bob Hague, Wisconsin Radio Network.
You're listening to Wisconsin Radio Network News.
Stars and Stripes and Summer Nights during the Dunn County Fair, July 23rd through the 27th in Menominee. Hear the roar of the engines at the Red Cedar Speedway with late model racing Thursday and Friday night and the NTPA Tractor Pull on Saturday. Enjoy the great fair food and all the rides with Spectrum Carnival. Don't forget about all the animal exhibits too. It's rides, food, animals, and fun during the Dunn County Fair, July 23rd through the 27th in Menominee.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. A fall feel today with partly cloudy skies and highs only scraping the low 70s. Tomorrow, it'll be sunny and warmer, highs in the mid-70s. And then showers and storms are expected to swing through overnight. A darker and damper day on Saturday with more sunshine expected on Sunday. Need a new bathroom? Call BCI Bath and Shower, 1-800-329-4115. Currently, it's 64.
This is AM 1430 WRDN, Duran Mondovi at Wabasha. The following program was pre-recorded.
And more importantly, disease management in a cow herd and in corn and soybean fields across the country. And land values. We'll take a look at some of the factors that have brought stability to the land market even as farm income shrinks.
Live, we're sure glad you've landed here. This is AgriTalk. This morning we begin with a conversation with Paul Shadegg from Farmers National. Then it's Darren Mueller, extension plant pathologist from Iowa State University. And later a visit from Mike Adams himself. Directly following the news, Angie Stump Denton from Drovers. I'm handsome newsman Davis Michelson, and now say hello to the host of AgriTalk, Chip Laurie.
All right, Davis. Hey, yeah, let's go straight to Mike Adams. He's going to be on here with us, a Hall of Famer, a National Association of Farm Broadcasting Hall of Famer, Mike Perrine, passed yesterday. Yeah. And it's kind of, I mean, the guy worked up until he couldn't. Mm-hmm. And Mike Perrine had a lot to do with the survivability of AgriTalk in the early days. Mm-hmm. And Mike was there for that. Mike Adams was there for that. And we're going to get Mike on and do a little reminiscence of Mike Perrine. So sad day. Sad day that he passed. Welcome. Welcome to AgriTalk. Glad that you are with us. We've got a lot of issues that we need to get to, including this update from Darren Mueller. He posted yesterday that there are some soybean diseases that are showing up already this season in Iowa, at least in Iowa, mm-hmm. that are typically don't show up this early. Okay.
Oh, I don't like that.
Some things like white mold and even some SDS is out there. So before we talk too much about that, we need to get the expert in here, and that is Darren, figure out exactly what is going on, how widespread it is, and why. Why is it middle of July instead of the middle of August or even early September when we really start to see these issues bloom out there in the field that they are showing up already? And, of course, we've got Angie coming up here. We're going to talk about controlling pink eye and better yet, preventing.
Conjunctivitis, yeah.
Yes, yeah. All right, let's go ahead and get to the news.
I'll start with the National Weather Service outlook here. Chip, a system in the Gulf could produce heavy rainfall and flash flooding for portions of the north central Gulf Coast into Saturday. Widespread showers and thunderstorms likely this afternoon into Friday from Central Plains into the Mid-Mississippi Valley, Ohio Valley, and Central Appalachians. Dangerous heat is expected from the lower Mississippi Valley to the Mid-Atlantic today. We had a heck of a storm overnight here in KC. There was some flooding. We lost a limb from our own yard. It was a bit of a nasty biz, and we're still under a flood risk right now.
No kidding. Well, I tell you what, the cold front has passed through. Yesterday, it spurred some very serious storms in Wisconsin. Yeah. But it is only 62 degrees here in northeast Iowa this morning.
Wow.
It is gorgeous.
Wow. Nice.
Gorgeous.
We're 71 here and kind of on edge. Corn and soybeans pulled back from recent gains overnight, while wheat also weakened. The U.S. dollar index was up around 400 points, and front-month crude oil futures were about 25 cents higher ahead of the open. Cash cattle negotiations have been slow this week. Feedlots are likely in no hurry to sell at lower prices after last week's strong gains, instead remaining content to hold back cattle and maybe even add some extra pounds if needed. Chip, are the markets speaking to you at all? What are they saying? What do you hear?
Bean oil market is more than 100 points higher this morning. That's helping soybeans push to the upside. It's got to be some biofuel influence there someplace.
Well, Chip, the Office of the United States Trade Rep initiated an investigation of Brazil under Section 301 of the Trade Act of 1974. The office will seek to determine whether the acts, policies, and practices of Brazil's government related to things like preferential tariffs, ethanol market access, and several other factors are unreasonable or discriminatory and burden or restrict U.S. commerce.
It's about time. The ethanol guys right now are saying it is definitely time to do this.
Right on. Well, here's an interesting one, Chip. President Trump said Coca-Cola has agreed to use cane sugar in its namesake soda amid criticism of sweeteners such as high fructose corn syrup by Health and Human Services Secretary Robert F. Kennedy Jr. The Corn Refiners Association said, quote, replacing high fructose corn syrup with cane sugar does not make sense.
Yeah, no, I'm not saying that Coke hasn't agreed to do that, but there's been no confirmation from Coca-Cola at this point.
Yep. Well, Mexican President Claudia Sheinbaum spoke with Canadian Prime Minister Mark Carney, and the two apparently agreed to strengthen trade collaboration amid the U.S. tariffs set to go in effect next month. Sheinbaum said she and Carney discussed strategies both countries were taking to negotiate with the Trump administration ahead of that August 1st tariff deadline. Separately, Canada will restrict imports of steel from countries other than the United States and Mexico starting August 1st, responding to mounting pressure from 50% U.S. tariffs on foreign metals. Japan's exports fell for a second straight month in June, dragged lower by steep declines in car and steel shipments as Trump's tariff barrage continues. And finally, Chip, the Senate passed a $9 billion rescissions package early Thursday morning, narrowly approving President Trump's push to cancel foreign aid and public broadcasting funds. Attention now shifts to the House. If the rescissions bill isn't passed by midnight Friday, the frozen funds must be released by the White House and spent as Congress originally intended, Chip.
All right. Thank you very much. Let's get Angie Stump Denton in here right now. Angie is the editorial director at Drovers. Hey, good morning, Angie.
Good morning, Chip. It is a beautiful day in Kansas, too. It's 66 degrees. So
it's
great
awesome.
Morning for those cows out there today.
That's right. It is awesome. Okay. So Scott McGregor was on the Farmer Forum yesterday. He's up here in Northeast Iowa. He mentioned that they're having to manage some pink eye in his cow herd. That's not unusual, but there are ways to lower your risk, aren't there?
There are. There's different prevention tips. I just posted a story here this week on drovers.com, seven tips for preventing pink eye. You know, one of them is fly control, of course. Another one is grass and weed and brush control. So clipping them pastures, keeping the brush down, and then also just disease management. If you kind of get a little outbreak, kind of isolate those infected animals, because those flies will pass that, you know, that virus that in between the different animals.
Yeah. Yeah, that's exactly what Scott was talking about. We've had enough rain here in northeast Iowa that the pastures are getting ahead of him, and so he's having to go out there and clip the pastures, keep his keep his animals safe. What are we looking for? What do we need? What are the symptoms?
You know, you look for that excessive tearing. If there looks like they've, you know, blinking, squinting, those are all kind of those early signs of pink eye. And of course, the sooner we can catch it and treat it, then we can, you know, prevent that blindness, you know, because if it's left untreated, there is, you know, a chance that that animal will go blind. So, you know, as it progresses, it becomes redder, the corneal then will become white and cloudy. And then even an ulcer can happen there on that eye. And then rupture in severe cases. So, you know, just be watching for that teary blinking and squinting and treat them. You know, a lot of vets suggest putting the patch over the eye if you find it, starting to get that disease. So,
Yep. Very good. Thank you, Angie. We appreciate it. Go to www.drovers.com for more on that story and a whole lot more. Angie's got some great coverage at Drovers right now. We're talking land values on AgriTalk. Next.
Step into the future of agricultural efficiency with New Leader's NL7 Series Nutrient Applicator. The NL7 is the latest innovation in farming equipment designed to revolutionize the way you spread fertilizer. With its unique design, its focus on efficiency, high precision, and high output, the NL7 is a versatile spreader that offers ease of maintenance and ease of use like never before. To see our full lineup of spreaders, including our trailed units with unmatched durability and pinpoint accuracy, visit our website at newleader.com.
At Hexagon, we are experts behind the world's most precise machines, from race cars and jets to tractors, sprayers, and combines. In the field, our technology provides farm equipment with sub-inch precision. Pass after pass, field after field, year after year. Anywhere you farm, anytime you need. We are guiding your equipment and maximizing your potential. Keep up with the agriculture evolution by trusting Hexagon in your fields. This is how Hexagon is empowering agriculture. See how at hexagon.com.
My mom is a veteran and she was injured in the line of duty.
I hurt my leg in a training accident when she was only 2 years old.
She had 7 different surgeries over the span of 9 years and there were tons of complications.
I couldn't be the mom my kids needed me to be.
She missed so much.
After my last surgery, I got an infection so bad I thought it was going to kill me.
I told her she couldn't leave me yet. There was still so much she had to see. I hadn't even graduated.
I'm doing much better now. I may have lost my leg, but I've gained so much. I'm an active part of my kids' lives.
She can kick a mean soccer ball.
DAV's been there for me and my family. Through thick and thin, they've had our back.
Every year, DAV helps more than 1 million veterans like Sandy get the health and disability benefits they've earned so they can achieve victories great and small.
My victory is getting my life back. I got my joy back.
We got our mom back, thanks to DAV.
Support more victories for veterans. Go to DAV.org.
When the game is on the line.
What's in a name? Well, if it's OptiCare, you can expect optimum animal health, optimum performance, and optimum care for your livestock. OptiCare is a complete line of beef, swine, dairy, and specialty products, each designed to treat or prevent common animal health problems, enhance growth, and improve performance. OptiCare, their name says it all. See Jerry Bear and Sons of Arkansas for a complete line of OptiCare products. Hubbard Feeds Incorporated products and the answers that work.
Compeer Financial helped us get into our forever home.
They helped me expand more than acreage.
And helped our dairy grow for the next generation.
At Compeer Financial, we see potential in every plan. Our unique perspective finds solutions to your challenges. And our specially trained financial team guides you every step of the way. Partner with us to make your goals possible. Compeer.com. Compeer Financial ACA is an equal opportunity lender and equal opportunity provider. And MLS number 619731, copyright 2019, all rights reserved.
AgriTalk is brought to you by the NL7 Series from New Leader Manufacturing. Discover spreading reinvented. Visit newleader.com today.
Well, I heard he needed some help on.
Welcome back to AgriTalk. I'm Chip. Glad that you are with us on this Thursday morning. I want to talk about what's going on in the land market. And to help us do that is Paul Shadegg. He is the Senior VP of Real Estate Operations at Farmers National. Paul, it is great to talk with you again. How are you?
I'm doing well, Chip. Thanks for having me on.
Yep, glad you're here. How are things at Farmers National? Sounds like you guys had an active first half of the year.
Yeah, we certainly did have a more than what we expected, a very strong start to the year, and trying to figure out how to adapt to global elements that keep impacting the land market.
Yeah, $450 million in transactions. That seems like a big number to me, Paul.
Well, for the first half of the year, that's a very good number for us. When we look at those 5 and 10 year averages, we're clipping right along. But we have to remember that we had those 2 years of really exceptional growth from about 2000 to 2023. So that kind of pushes that average up. But yeah, overall, we're real happy with where we're going.
All right. So the summary that you guys put together for the first half of 25, what was the overall trend or the bias in ag land values?
Yeah, and we were comparing that year over year, July to July, roughly. Mm-hmm. And, you know, over the past couple of years, I've had to figure out new words like resiliency and all those things like that. And, you know, the word that I come up with now is remarkably stable. And because we all know what the ag economy is doing, and there's all these other pressures from world events and tariffs and things like that, but the threat for lower net farm income. But with all that, we're still holding our own in general. There's some pockets that maybe are a little lower, some pockets a little higher, but overall, just very stable in the land market.
How much have we backed off from those highs that we posted back in 22-23?
Very little, actually. For the most part, it kind of zeroes out. When I look at the Kansas City Fed puts out a good report that graphs all the regions across the U.S. and the difference between year over year and what that change, that percent change. And we're reaching an area where it's kind of going to zero, meaning zero change. And there are, like I said, there's pockets where we think, well, we're going to see some settling, and then we have a pretty good sale. And then, you know, some areas that are struggling with some drought and water that, you know, maybe backing off that a little bit.
All right.
Paul, let me jump in here, because you've talked a couple of times now already about scattered, you know, we see scattered gains here and there, scattered softness here and there. Do you notice any correlations between the areas which maybe are experiencing a little softness in the market or some strength in the market? Is there any correlation that we can draw here?
It's really tough to draw the correlation other than I can talk about, like, where irrigation water is concerned. Uh-huh. Definitely people backing off of that a little bit, especially in areas where there's concern of the water table. But when we talk about, like, the high points, that it's in the Dakotas is where we've seen over the past 6 months some very strong sales. University data that shows it's up 5% or so, and even into western Minnesota a little bit. Overall, when we look at where most of the sales take place in Iowa, eastern Nebraska, Iowa, Illinois, Indiana, it's tough to draw a correlation other than little pockets where there might be some development potential, things like that, where we can fully understand that. But the rest of it, it really comes down to what I talk about a little bit in the report. That's that principle of supply and demand, where if you're in an area where there's just some operators that are pretty aggressive, they're going to push that envelope. And
very good.
Yep. Paul, in Iowa, guys are always trying to put a dollar value per CSR2, you know, to put some kind of a quality assessment on the ground as it is transferring ownership. I got to assume that the high quality ground is still pulling the load.
Yeah, it really is. And I was talking with my sales manager out there here recently, and sometimes we get surprised because sometimes that CSR might be a little bit lower, and that you still have two guys bidding against it, and they push it up higher than what we think it should be.
Yep.
But yeah, it's the high quality land is still number one in demand, without a doubt.
All right. Who's buying?
Well, when we look at that, you know, the farmer producer is still the buyer. Some of those guys, like we just talked, it's because of competition and either bidding against a neighbor, or he's got a farm that has never come up for sale in his lifetime, and he says, I've got to take advantage of that. And so that emotion comes in to play. But when we talk about that, it's easy to talk about who's the winner, but then who pushed him to that level? And that's where those, what we'll call the investor types, which can fall into a lot of different buckets, but the investors are holding the floor and they're kind of standing there. A lot of them have cash they would love to deploy, but it's got to make that ROI sense. And so when a farmer steps back, which this could happen, if we go down this economic path that we're on and net farm income is going to be stressed, there's a lot of those producers are going to say, you know, I can't do this. I got to step back. There's going to be an investor ready to step in. And as long as it makes sense for them, because that's who's pushing them.
Yeah. Yep. I got a feeling that the interest rate is probably having more impact on the investor purchases than even the farm operator purchases, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. When you look at, again, I'll go back to some of those Fed reports. When they talk about and a lot of the reports are based on their regional bank surveys, and while 9% or 8 or 9% interest rate doesn't sound high to someone who grew up in the 70s and 80s and what it was back then, compared to what it's been the last 15 years, it's double or triple what it was. And a lot of those investors they typically leverage a certain percentage of that. And that's just an additional cost that they take off the purchase price.
Okay. All right. Some stability in this interest rate outlook. Well, no, I'm not asking that right. If we would see interest rates back off a point, do you think that has much impact on the market going forward?
I think it would. Okay. But I thought that when it was going up, too. I thought, oh, the land market's going to back off as these interest rates come up, and they really didn't. But the reason for that is most of the buyers were not borrowing money or not borrowing significant amounts. They still had cash to deploy. Right. But at some point, that cash is going to kind of burn. They're going to burn through that at some point. They haven't yet, but it's going to.
Yeah. All right. So I asked who's buying, who's selling, and what is the availability? Is there enough out there to meet the demand of the buyers?
Yeah, and we touched on that just a little bit, of that economic principle, supply demand. We talked about the demand side, but that supply side is pretty tight, and for a couple of reasons. We have sellers that come to us and say, you know, I'm considering this of selling this asset. And then they look at, okay, well, if I sell it and I'm going to get, let's just say, $1 million, what am I going to do with that $1 million that would give me a better return than land has over the past 25, 50, 75 years? And so sometimes that's a hard decision. And they say, you know, instead of selling, I think I'll set it up in a trust and I'll pass it on to my kids and let them have this valuable asset. Maybe it'll appreciate over a similar rate over the next 50 years. So that's a little bit of the story of why the supply is down. Just individuals that don't owe a lot of money on that land, so there's no pressure from the bank to sell anything like that.
Yep. Yep.
Another way to look at this, and I call it armchair quarterbacking, because during that run up in land values from 20 to 23, we're just like, wow, you know, this is great. We're seeing a lot of transactions, a lot of buying and selling going on. But now we look at where we're at today, we're 20 to 25% down. Maybe that's because we sold a lot of land a few years ago. So now maybe that's part. It's nothing I would have thought of then, but yeah. Now it really starts to make sense.
There's a reason that guys say, listen, the next time that farm comes up for sale, I'm going to be there to buy it. It's because it doesn't come up for sale all that often. Paul, great perspective, great observations on what's going on in the land market. Thank you so much. Appreciate you, man.
Okay. Thanks, Chip.
Paul Shadegg, Senior VP at Farmers National.
Wake up. Get ready. Grab breakfast. Go to work. Grab lunch. Come home. Run to practice. Run to the store. Grab dinner. Go to bed and repeat. Food fuels your day. And we fuel the people producing it with the latest news, information, and perspectives from across the globe. Ag Day is a place to learn about the business of food and farming. Join us and our team of experts as we cover the stories that keep the world moving. That's weekdays for Ag Day, the country experience.
Anyone can choose to make a difference. You can help people succeed, rebuild after disasters, protect the environment, or feed the hungry. Not only will you make a difference for others, but for yourself. You can earn money for college, learn career skills, and make friendships that last a lifetime. Make a difference. Choose your future. Choose AmeriCorps.
The wheat harvest is underway. Make it easier with Alsivia's on-farm pickup program. Alsivia will haul your grain directly from your farm to its destination with freight included in Alsivia's bids. It's simple, efficient, and designed to fit your operation. Let Alsivia handle the trucking so you can focus on harvest. Try it out this season. Visit alsivia.com or call 608-819-4401, 608-819-4401 to learn more.
Milk markets are higher with this WRDN market update. I'm Brian Winnekins. At the Mercantile Exchange, August milk up 19 to 17.65, September up 7 to 18.25, October up 3 to 18.64, November up 2 at 18.55. Live cattle and feeder cattle markets moving up mostly lower as the trade is finally saying they need fundamental reassurance before moving markets any higher. There really hasn't been any cash cattle traded yet, but boxed beef prices are lower, and that has the trade concerned. Hog markets are higher as pork cutout values are stronger, and it appears the market's establishing somewhat of a bottom in the futures complex. August live cattle down 50 cents to 223.40. August feeder cattle down 52 cents to 325.05. August hogs up 70 cents to 105.12. Chicago Board of Trade corn markets mostly lower. Little fresh news remains to move markets higher. Now, the short-term weather is favorable for pollination. Soybeans, though, are higher on consolidation. And also, while the weather will remain good for the short term, heat and dry weather could be the focus during pod fill season. Wheat markets are lower as the market grinds along the lower end of the trading range due to harvest pressure. There's also some strength in the dollar as well. New crop corn down 3.5 to 420 and a half. New crop beans up 5 to 1025 and a quarter. September wheat down 8 to 533 and a quarter.
Hey, how was your day?
Great. Don't forget, Sam's practice starts an hour early.
I'm going right now.
Sam, are you ready? Coming.
I have that meeting at school. I'll see you later.
Life is busy. Your healthcare should keep up. At Emplify Health in Mondovi, we get it. Our primary care is built around what you need when you need it, with same-day, in-person, or video appointments available. Because sometimes feeling seen and understood means actually being seen. A little empathy changes everything.
The Wisconsin Corn Growers Association has long worked tirelessly in the interest of today's corn industry. Because you're busy farming and raising a family, so we're at the table when you can't be. But like you, we can't do it alone. Our strength is in our members. Our strength is in you. Join us as we continue advocating for the American corn farmer. Visit WICorn.org and become a member today.
AgriTalk do not necessarily reflect the views of Farm Journal Broadcasting, affiliate stations, or sponsors. Learn from the experts at Yield Academy in Rochester, Minnesota on August 21st. Use promo code AgriTalk for a 50% discount. Go to farmjournalyieldacademy.com. Oh,
Welcome back to AgriTalk. Glad that you are with us. By the way, Shea Folk from AgView Solution, who is going to be at the Yield Academy on August 21st up in Rochester, is going to be our guest this afternoon, talking about some of the business management issues that the guys at AgView Solutions are thinking about right now. So
he'll be up at, he'll be up at Yield Academy in Rochester, Minnesota on August 21st, you're saying? And then he'll probably hang around for the for the big wrap-up blowout of the Pro Farmer Crop Tour, also on August 21st in Rochester, Minnesota, USA.
If you're interested in more information on that, farmjournalyieldacademy.com is where you go.
Wow.
I'm just, you know, it's just a thought. You could head on over there.
We earned our kibble today, brother.
Is there a way to save money with that registration?
There is. If you use AgriTalk as the promo code, you can get half off on that. So it's just a thought. Just a thought.
It's a good one.
Let's talk about what's going on in the corn soybean fields across the state of Iowa. Darren Mueller is a professor and extension plant pathologist at Iowa State University. He's also the coordinator of the Iowa State Integrated Pest Management Program. That's a lot to do, Darren. Welcome.
Well, thank you.
You bet. Glad that you are here. I was a little surprised by the post that you had on X yesterday. As you know, I was surprised by it. We're seeing some bean diseases show up a little bit early this year, huh?
Yeah, I'm surprised. Also a little bit saddened. I mean, as a plant pathologist, I sort of like the job security, but I'd prefer, you know, maybe a little less of the job security. So we did see, we have found a couple of, I'd say the two major soybean diseases that we deal with in Iowa is sudden dust syndrome and white mold. And we've now spotted both of them in mid-July, so about a month earlier than we want.
I was going to say, it's at least a month early for SDS in particular, isn't it, Darren?
Yeah, usually, like, the time frame for me is usually we you can count on a huge rain coming at the end of July, and then, you know, about a week later, you start to see it, and then about 2 weeks later, you start to get a little bit grumpy about it, and so the fact that it's, you know, a good month in advance, it has us a little nervous.
So what are the environmental conditions that are allowing this to happen?
Well, it takes, there's two phases for sudden death. The first phase is root rot, and so you can think of any conditions that are going to be for any root rot. You know, cool, wet spring, which we had, and so that's going to sort of get that fungus into the plant. And then this particular fungus produces a toxin, and that toxin has to get moved to the top of the plant. And for the toxin to sort of build up its levels in the soil, you need to have saturated wet soils. And so that's why you'd like to see those big rains. We call them the SDS rains in our lab. And so once you have really good saturated soils, and then that toxin builds up and that gets moved up to the top.
I mean, just think of those rains that you're talking about, farmers call them million-dollar rains. We call them million-dollar rains because of what it does to add yield, and you're calling them SDS rains. I find that very interesting.
Well, you know what's funny is that we actually, you know, both of these diseases are considered diseases of high-yield soybeans because you coincide with those million-dollar rains, and you know, you need those for yield. But, you know, if they come at the wrong time, if they come a little bit too often and you don't have your, you know, you didn't make the management decisions needed, then it might come bite you in the butt a little bit.
Right. Right. Okay. Guys are planting beans earlier and earlier every year. Is that having an impact? Could that be opening up the gate for some diseases earlier in the bean crop?
For sure. For both of these diseases, and it's for different reasons. I think that for SDS, the earlier you plant, you sort of have a longer period of that root rot phase potentially playing. Just that, I call it, you know, the first hurdle. You sort of have a longer period for that first hurdle to happen. And for white mold, the earlier you plant, it's going to be the earlier the canopy closes, and that really that's what you're looking for is that canopy closure, because that's what trigger, you know, the disease getting started.
Okay, what's the severity? I am assuming that these are isolated outbreaks at this point.
At this point, they're isolated outbreaks. Yeah.
Okay.
So I haven't even seen patches. Right now it says plants. Which is, again, this is sort of like the levels we usually see in the beginning of August. So,
So what do we need to do now? If you walk out into the field and you, first things first, what are we looking for if we're looking to identify SDS?
All right. So, it's sort of the classic yellowing and between the veins of leaves, and there's usually in the top of the plant, and then, you know, as it progresses, those leaves will drop and you'll see petioles still remaining. But right now you're just going to see that yellowing and death between the veins. And so, and it usually happens in patches. So, you know, if you're going to be doing the windshield scouting, you're looking for, you know, funny spots in the field and hopefully get out and look. And unfortunately with SDS, you know, there's like three or four lookalikes. And so you do need to get out and look, try to split some stems and make sure it's not brown stem rot. We have a new disease in Illinois, that's red crown rot, that hasn't made it to Iowa yet, but that has the same patchy, same symptoms. And, you know, they have a little bit of different signs on the crown of the plant or the base of that plant, which gets it, that's where it gets its name. But, you're looking for the yellow patches.
Right. And then on white mold, you're going to be looking for individual dead plants or the white powder at the bottom, right?
Yeah. So you have a couple of things. So if it is a nice thick canopy, you'll see sort of flag plants that are flagging, or there'll be random dead ones here and there. And then just peel back the canopy, and if you see that white, it's called mycelia, the fungal growth. Yep. That's a telltale sign that you have white mold.
Okay, so if you go out there and you see the early stages of some of these issues, what do you do?
Well, there's a different answer for both of them. For sudden death syndrome, you get your pad and paper out and you take notes. And so you go to your field, like you don't, there's nothing to do. So like that's the good and bad thing. It's just sort of, but you just take notes because like what seed treatments you put down, what varieties you selected, that's all valuable information for the next time you plant soybeans. So, you know, we've had 3 or 4 years of fairly dry weather in the later half of the summer. Yep. And so we don't have a lot of data on a lot of the varieties that are out there right now. So use it to your advantage to just collect data. For white mold, we're still early enough. I mean, you can still get a fungicide out there if you feel like the risk stays high. Pick a good fungicide and try to get it out there. You can spray all the way up to R3 and still get some money back on your fungicide.
Gotcha. Boy, you got to get some penetration through the canopy though, don't you?
Yeah. Yeah. It's a different game than with the other ones. You know, like all the activity is down in that lower canopy. So anything you can do to get the fungicide as deep into that canopy as you can, that's what we want.
Yep. What about corn? We got anything tar spot popping up?
Man, I think it's as bad as that tweet was. The post was on soybean. I think there's worse news in the corn world. We actually are seeing a lot of southern rust showing up in Iowa already. So that is the one thing that I'm probably the most nervous about. I think we found it in 6 or 7 counties now. That's a
whole lot different than common rust, isn't it?
That's common rust we'll deal with. We have resistance levels to it, and it sort of slows down once you get into the heat of summer. Southern rust, like its name, it sort of likes that heat, and we don't have good levels of resistance, and so it can move very, very quickly through cornfields. So yes, we're seeing tar spot. I think I think we're getting used to tar spot. I think, you know, like people aren't panicking as much, and you know, that's there. Like we you know, last year was the first year in a long time where we really had to deal with southern rust, and it's about 10 days earlier than last year. So,
okay. Preventative measures are best because once you get it, the southern rust, once you get it, it's probably going to take a bite out of your yield, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, and so I'll put my IPM coordinator hat on here.
Yeah.
You know, which usually I say, you know, get out and scout and, you know, really be judicious about, you know, fungicides, make sure we steward these products. We don't have a lot of them. In a year like this, if we catch a couple more rains like we're supposed to in the next week or so, and this inoculum's out there, I mean, a timely fungicide application is going to be very beneficial. So
okay, is South Central part of the state right now?
It's in.
Or where is it?
Well, I found it in fields 10 miles from my house here in Ames, and it's all the way Pottawatomie County, all the way across the state. So,
Okay, I didn't expect to hear that news.
I'm sorry.
So
a good map, like a good resource. So we have a lot of us contribute, like plant pathologists, we contribute to the Crop Protection Network, which is like our multi-state extension. And we have a new mapping tool on the front page of that called Crop Lookout. If you just click on that, there's a couple of hot links on that map for tar spot and southern rust. And so when we find new finds, it's updated real time. So,
well, get your disease fighting hats on, fellas. If we've got southern rust in the state, it's going to be a long summer. Darren, let's stay in touch on this stuff, okay?
You bet.
All right, Darren Mueller, professor and extension plant pathologist at Iowa State University. We've got Mike Adams coming up next.
Want to get smart?
$5,000. That's the average amount of money people in the U.S. are now spending on gas in a year. $5,000. That's crazy. If you drive, you have to download Upside, the free app that gives you cash back every time you get gas. That's right. You can earn real cash back with Upside just by buying the gas you're already buying. You can literally start earning cash back today.
I use Upside every time I fill up, and I've already made around $200-$300.
You're putting gas in your car anyway. Why not get real cash back? If you like free money, download Upside.
I'm saving the cash I earn from using Upside to help pay for a vacation later this year.
Download the free Upside app now to earn cash back every time you buy gas. Use promo code MOVE to get an extra 25 cents per gallon on your first tank. You can cash out anytime right to your bank, PayPal, or a gift card for Amazon and other brands. Just download the free Upside app and use promo code MOVE for a 25 cents per gallon bonus on your first tank. That's code MOVE for a 25 cents per gallon bonus.
I love a day on the water with friends, but my moderate to severe plaque psoriasis sometimes holds me back. Now I'm all in with clearer skin thanks to Skyrizi. Risankizumab Riza, a prescription-only 150-milligram injection for adults who are candidates for systemic or phototherapy.
Teaching music is my passion, but my active psoriatic arthritis can limit me at times. Now I'm treating my joint symptoms with Skyrizi.
With Skyrizi, most people with plaque psoriasis saw 90% clearer skin at 4 months.
Or if you are an adult with active psoriatic arthritis, Skyrizi helps you move with less joint pain, stiffness, swelling, and fatigue.
Don't use if allergic to Skyrizi. Serious allergic reactions, increased infections, or lower ability to fight them may occur. Before treatment, get checked for infections and tuberculosis. Tell your doctor about any flu-like symptoms or vaccines.
There's nothing like clearer skin.
There's nothing like better movement, and that means everything. Ask your doctor about Skyrizi. Visit Skyrizi.com or call 1-866-SKYRIZI to learn more.
Helping others.
That's what we were taught. Service before self.
But we do have one question for the veterans listening.
When is the last time you reached out for help?
If you or someone you know needs resources, whether it's for stress, finances, employment, or mental health, don't wait. Reach out.
Find more information at va.gov/reach. That's va.gov/reach.
Brought to you by the United States Department of Veterans Affairs and the Ad Council.
This is Andrew McRae, host of The American Countryside. I'm also a farmer and rancher from Northwest Missouri, and I hope you'll join me each week for Farming the Countryside as we take a look at the top issues impacting agriculture as told by the people farming and working in our industry. We'll talk about markets and trade, share some of the latest tips and trends for grain and livestock producers, and take a look at trends impacting rural America. Join me for Farming the Countryside on many local radio stations or on your favorite podcast platform, or just go to farmingthecountryside.com.
Are you over 50? Would you like to get up to 33% more income in retirement? Then call now for this free book, Annuity Do's and Don'ts for Baby Boomers, from a leading financial firm on maximizing your income in retirement. That's right, free. This free book reveals little-known truths about annuities in simple-to-understand terms that will help you make the right choices before buying an annuity. And it's free. As a bonus, we'll also throw in a free annuity rate report summarizing the rates and benefits from financially strong insurers.
Call 800-515-1548.
That's right, annuity do's and don'ts for baby boomers and annuity rate report, both absolutely free for calling today.
Call 800-515-1548. That's 800-515-1548.
Sponsored by Annuity General. Producers have the appropriate licenses for the products they offer. Increased income is possible using strategies suited to your goals and may require buying multiple annuities and holding them full term.
Stream your favorite Farm Journal programs, podcasts, and personalities with the new Farm Journal TV app. You'll enjoy on-demand access to the agriculture information you need from the sources you trust. It's all at your fingertips and on your schedule, anytime, anywhere. The Farm Journal TV streaming app gives you all the must-see Farm Journal shows, all the podcasts from our expanding network, along with exclusive and early view content. You can stream on your phone or smart TV, and you can download programs and watch offline. Go to farmjournaltv.com now to get the special half-off introductory offer, which gives you unlimited access to all this content with a free 14-day trial subscription and the special price of $49 for a full year. Use code BIGDEAL to get this special rate. Don't miss a minute. Subscribe today at farmjournaltv.com.
AgriTalk is brought to you by FBN Finance, helping family farms through tough times with land loan rates as low as 5.51% for well-qualified borrowers. Rates subject to credit approval and may vary. Visit FBN.com/AgriTalk.
Welcome back to AgriTalk. Glad that you're with us on this Thursday morning. I love opportunities to talk with Mike Adams. I just don't like the reason that we are going to have a conversation with Mike right now. Mike, of course, is the NAFB Hall of Fame broadcaster. He's the former host of AgriTalk's Adams on Agriculture, and he joins us right now. Mike, thanks for joining us this morning, buddy. How you doing?
Chip, I echo your thoughts. Always good to talk with you. I just wish it was for a different reason today, but yeah, good to be with you.
Yeah, we lost a good one yesterday. NAFB Hall of Famer Mike Perrine passed, and everyone here at AgriTalk Farm Journal, we send our condolences to his friends and his family. And one of those friends who is more like family is you, Mike. He was quite the guy, wasn't he?
Yeah, kind of one of a kind, really. Bigger than life in a lot of ways. I first met Mike in the mid-70s. I was just out of college and starting in radio here in Jacksonville at WLDS. And I didn't even know there was such a thing as a farm broadcaster. I was a DJ. I was doing sports. And I thought that's what radio was. Well, Mike was creating a farm department there at WLDS. I was on the board running the controls, and because of my farm background, I kind of understood some of the things he was talking about, you know, and he and I would get to talking, and he came up with the idea that, you know, I could be his assistant. And that opened the door for me. It just kept growing and growing and really started my farm broadcasting career. And he was a mentor. He was creating things on the fly. He and I were able to, we had great support from management, and we were able to just create things. And what he taught me was a work ethic. We put in the hours, and he said, we're going to be everywhere. We're going to cover everything. And that was kind of our the operation and the method. And, you know, later he went to a station across town, and we became competitors. And I tell you what, it made me work harder than I'd ever worked before, because I knew you'd have to work hard just to keep up with him. And then, yeah. You know, we kind of went different directions for a while. And then years later, when I was at AgriTalk, I had a vision for what I wanted to do with the show. And there were two key parts that I needed. One was John Harris as producer. And the other was when they were looking for a salesman, I said, let's get the best farm radio salesman that I know of. And that's Mike Perrine. And he came on board. And we were able to really take off from there. Basically, what we did, we took the model that he taught me on a local level. I just expanded it to a national level, and we went from there.
Yeah, yeah. And the combination of you three, that was a pretty equally weighted trio when it came to the building the success of AgriTalk, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was a team effort. I mean, John was so good on the technical side, and he could get us hooked up and get the guests we want. I would say to John, can we get so-and-so? He said, let me try. And he would get them, you know. And we'd say to Mike, we'd like to do this. And he'd find a way to get it, you know, sponsored and make it financially feasible for us. And it just, we were like, you know, a well-oiled machine there, the three of us working together.
Yep.
Each of us had a part to play, and it all kind of meshed together and worked.
Yeah, you talk about that work ethic that you picked up from Mike. He was that way until the end, wasn't he? He worked up until, you know, quite honestly, he couldn't work anymore.
That's exactly right. He was still doing radio shows last week. I mean, he didn't want to give it up. He loved covering agriculture. He loved doing interviews and getting the information out. And, we lost a friend, agriculture lost a great friend, a great supporter, a great promoter, because that's what he did. You know, he just enjoyed so much meeting people. And he taught me early on about the importance of relationships, getting to know people, making sure they knew you and making those contacts. This business is a relationship business. Agriculture, of course, is a relationship business. And he taught me that early on.
Yep. And he built relationships for 55 years of broadcasting. 55 years. He was a Hall of Fame inductee in 2023, and I was there for that, Mike. And it was just he was so honored and so humbled by his induction into the Hall of Fame. It was really inspiring.
It really was. It meant a lot to him to be recognized by his peers for all that work that he had done. And, you know, he was a broadcaster. He was a salesman. And for a long time, he wasn't sure that he could ever be in the Hall of Fame because he spent a lot of his time on sales. But he combined the two so well, which a lot of people have done since. He was kind of a pioneer in that as well. And he made the two work together. You know, he'd be on a sales call, but he would do an interview for the farm show that afternoon. I mean, he just made it work that way.
Yep. That's exactly right. Exactly right. Well, Mike, like I said, we lost a good one. We're all going to miss Mike Perrine. He didn't need to start a relationship with me, and he did. I mean, I remember one time down at the Farm Progress Show in Decatur, he was sitting on a bench, and he looked at me and said, Chip, sit down. We need to get to know each other. And that's just how he was.
He helped so many people.
Yeah.
And he didn't hesitate to give you his thoughts and opinions, and he would help you any way he could.
Yep, we sat on that bench for quite a while outside the press tent down there in Decatur and had a great conversation. Mike, great conversation with you.
He used to say, you got to have a little fun, and he always had some fun in doing the work, too.
That's exactly right. Good stuff.
Take care, Chip.
You bet. I enjoy the conversation with you, even under these circumstances, Mike. Mike Adams, Hall of Fame, NAFB, Broadcasting Hall of Fame right there. Former host, as you all know, of AgriTalk. Hey, I mentioned it earlier. I'll mention it again right now. Come back this afternoon. We've got a conversation with Shay Folk from AgView Solutions right here on AgriTalk.
That's right.
I'm Tyne Morgan, host of U.S. Farm Report, and more than a host, I'm a journalist, a wife, and a mom of two. raising a family in the heart of rural America. I understand the issues facing agriculture today because I live it every day. I see firsthand how farming and ranching isn't just a job, it's a way of life. Covering America's most important industry is what we do, and it's why U.S. Farm Report has been on the air for nearly 50 years. I invite you to join us every weekend for U.S. Farm Report, a timely, trusted tradition.
Want to get smarter and have some fun while you're at it? Introducing Unscripted and Grow Getters, two of agriculture's most entertaining and engaging podcasts. Hosted by U.S. Farm Report's Tyne Morgan and Ag Day's Clinton Griffiths, Unscripted is your chance to meet the personalities behind the personalities. And with heart and humor, Grow Getters with host Davis Michelson explores ag's most innovative side hustles. You can find Unscripted and Grow Getters on the Farm Journal YouTube channel or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, it's Mike Rohn. If I have a choice, I like to do business with companies that actually stand for something. That's why I switch from Verizon to Pure Talk. No offense to Verizon, I'm sure they stand for something. I just don't know what it is. Pure Talk, on the other hand, is a veteran-owned company that supports our military in a big way, and I appreciate that. Yeah, I also appreciate unlimited talk and text and plenty of data for half the cost of the big guys, and I do like being on America's most dependable 5G network for just $20 a month, but what I really appreciate is no contract, no cancellation fees, and Pure Talk's commitment to handle all their customer service in this country. I saw it for myself. I went to Georgia, I got a tour of their headquarters, I met their CEO, and I talked to the same customer service folks that you'll talk to when you dial #250 and say keyword micro. Switch today and save 50% off your first month when you dial #250 and say keyword micro. Pure Talk. A wireless company that actually stands for something.
You're listening to WRDN, 1430 AM, Durand Mondovi, Wabasha, and 107.3 FM at Translator W297CH, Durand.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. The White House physician says President Trump has been diagnosed with chronic venous insufficiency. The White House addressed questions about President Trump's health due to reports of swelling in his legs. Press Secretary Caroline Leavitt at today's briefing.